Welcome back to Hoops HD, everybody. Well, I'm your host, Chad Sherwood.
Where
Over
is
there, that's the
everybody?
puppet, David Griggs.
Where is everybody?
Well, I got good news. I
Where are
got
the
bad
other people?
news. You want the bad news first, David, or the good
Well,
news?
sure. Where is everybody?
Where is everybody? Unfortunately, it's just two of us tonight.
Oh!
If I mute you, then it could just be me and I'll be done with the show in 10 minutes. That'll be great. I go watch the rest of the Rutgers game. The bad news, a little sad news. This is the season finale of Under the Radar here at Hoops HD.
You mean we're not going to have another one until October?
We will not have another Under the Radar podcast until November.
Why
The good
not?
news, this is also our preview slash day zero of Championship Week Zero Notebooks.
Yes. Every night for the rest of the year, you've got us.
Yeah, every night between now and Selection Sunday, with I think the occasion of this a Friday night this week. But we will have a Championship Week Video Notebook podcast that will be a separate podcast other than tonight. Tonight we're mixing in with Under the Radar. After this, there'll be its own separate podcast from here on out every night. We'll also be doing bracket rundowns and Hoops HD reports. So we've got a lot more content we're going to be doing. And oh my God, I got to see your face every single night from here on out. This is awful.
But I mean, but think of it this way: you'll get to hear my wisdom.
That's even
Doesn't that
worse.
make you feel of honor?
Anyhow, this is under most of the show tonight is going to be the Under the Radar podcast. So, David, why don't you tell people what Under the Radar is in case they don't know by now?
Well, okay, it is the 22 regular one bid leagues, 21 this year because of the Ivy League not playing. There is no rule that says that these leagues only get one team in. It's just that more times than not that they only get one, and it's the auto bid qualifier. We might see one or two teams inside the bubble. We'll get into that as we get into the show. So it is not the 10 regular multi-bid leagues. That's the Power Five, which is the Big 10, the Big 12, the Pac-12, the SEC, and the ACC, and the five additional regular multi-bid leagues, which is the Big East, the Atlantic 10, the Mountain West, the West Coast, and the American.
You did it.
I did. I always screw it up. I did it right this time. Yeah.
The other disqualifier is you can't be in the top 25 in either poll, which means Loyola Chicago is not technically under the radar, but we will be talking about the rest of the Missouri Valley Conference.
Yeah.
Correct. Okay. Right. And we always start with a feature conference. And for this week's feature conference, I'm going to go with a conference that is actually completely done with its regular season. I don't know if we've ever featured a conference that was completely done already. But here it is, David, the Horizon League. We have not featured them all year, and we'll get to it in a few minutes here. They are actually going to be the first team's conference start of their conference tournament tomorrow on Thursday.
Yes, so a real bizarre way to do this. I looked at this for about an hour and a half, Chad, trying to figure out how their seating worked.
Just for a point of reference, I rearranged the standings on the screen right here to match their seating. Because as you can see, I got a 10-10 team ranked above a 10-6 team.
Yes, you have a 10-10 team ranked above an 11-7 team, which and a 10-6 team, which had more wins and fewer losses. I don't quite understand that.
There was a four-part calculation that included road record, strength of games. I mean, there's a very strange calculation that Horizon League did to get there.
Reached out, I'm not going to say who, to a Horizon League AD and to ask him or her, what the hell were you all doing? And he or she said, don't even get me started. I don't know what we did.
My thought when I first saw the bracket come out was that the final seed list here come out, that they just pulled names out of a hat. Other than, I guess, let's start at the top, though. Cleveland State and Wright State finished in a tie for first place because both teams went on Friday and lost road games at NKU and at Fort Wayne for Cleveland State.
Yeah. Wright State losing that game to NKU and then doing something on Saturday that they hadn't done all year, not blowing out the team that just beat them. I can't help but think that Wright State has the highest ceiling. I think they've shown that they've had the highest ceiling, but they've also shown, as they did on Friday, that they don't always play up to it. And this is not a ladder. It is a straight, for the most part, bracket. Is it not, or is there a reseeding?
Let's go right there. It should be coming on screen. There is the Horizon League bracket. If can you see it, David? Did it come up on the
Yes,
screen?
I can see it. So
if you look up on the top there's a conference tournament tab. You can find all these brackets there as well.
Yeah. So it is going to be reseeded. So Wright State's path should be pretty smooth.
Well, Cleveland State, though the one seed, they'll get the even easier path than Wright State.
Right. And again, while I think Wright State is the better team or has the higher ceiling, they don't always play like it. And this is not going to be a walk in the park for them, because unlike the regular season, where if you slip up and blow a game that you should win, you can't just get mad and blow them out the next day, which is what Wright State has been doing all year. You lose, you're out. And this is one of the things about this year and this COVID year. The NIT is 16 teams. There'll probably be very few under the radar teams in it because there are no auto bids. And the CIT is canceled, and I believe the CBI is as well.
I heard the CBI was still on.
CBI is still going.
But that might have changed. I haven't heard anything for about 2 weeks now. Last I heard was they were trying to do the CBI at a single neutral site, but couldn't
be off. But for a lot of these teams, this is it. Like, it's the NCAA tournament or nothing. And in a league like this, and in probably the case of 19 of the 21 leagues we're going to talk about tonight, everybody needs to win the auto bid or there's no postseason at all.
Exactly. And Wright State, although they have some decent metrics, not good enough to get in. Even if they pick up two wins and lose in the conference tournament final, it's just not going to be enough in our opinion. But David, the other thing we want to do is what something we'll do throughout the championship video notebooks is, and this is why this is kind of our day zero podcast for that, is we like to preview the upcoming day. So while we're here in the Horizon League, given that we are recording this around a little after 9 o'clock on Wednesday night, let's take a look at these four games on Thursday and put aside Cleveland State and Wright State for a second. Do you see any of these four road teams pulling off an upset?
No. Okay,
I'll get you back to differ a little bit. Fort Wayne just came off a win over Cleveland State. I do think Green Bay is a better team. They've been playing better lately. I don't like IUPUI at all in the 8-9 game. I like Milwaukee a lot better. Yeah. But UIC had a good start to the season, really stumbled. Youngstown State, a team that we were high on heading into the season, really disappointed. I think that's kind of the 6-11 game there is a game between the two disappointing teams.
It is. But where I am with that one, I'm a little surprised you go there, because UIC did get off to a pretty good start and showed some signs of brilliance. But I think Youngstown has they still have the higher ceiling. I think they've got it in them to blow the game. I'm not expecting them to. If anything, I could see them finally pulling it together and maybe making a team sweat in the quarterfinals, depending on who they end up matched up against.
Well, I'll tell you, David, actually, I was actually going to the 5-12 game for my upset pick.
Are you really? Bobby let me
throw this at you, though. These two teams just played last weekend twice. Detroit Mercy won both games. Is Detroit Mercy a good enough of a team to beat anybody in Division I 3 consecutive games? I don't think they are. I think they're a very good team. I think they're a good team. And that's why I'm going that everybody of anybody in the Horizon League right now heading to this tournament that knows Detroit Mercy better than anybody else, it is Bobby Moe. I'm going for the upset pick of the 5-12 game.
Well, Chad, I realize it's Robert Morris. I realize that they came from the Northeast Conference, and I realize that is near and dear to your heart.
I'm going there.
But I just think that they're in over their heads.
I'm going there. I'm going with Robert Morris tomorrow to pull the upset. They will not get by Cleveland State in the next round. Don't worry about that.
Yeah, which is who they would play.
David, I'm picking Wright State to win this event, and probably not against Cleveland State. I think Cleveland State gets upset along the way.
Do you really? If it's Wright State in KU, which it could be, well, it's reseeded the whole way. I am picking Wright State just because I think that they are the best team in the league. They have the highest ceiling. Scott Nagy is a good coach, and I think they will understand that you don't get a do-over now. You have to take care of business. They've managed to beat every team in this conference, and I think that they'll do it again and win the tournament.
We both agree on who's going to win the tournament, at least, even though we don't agree on who's going to win the Detroit Mercy. I mean, look at it. It was an 11-point game. Okay, they were both double-digit wins by Detroit last week. But still, Robert Morris just played Detroit Mercy twice, three games in a row. Not very, very difficult to beat a team three times in the season, especially if it's three in a row.
Yeah.
In fact, I know very few teams that have ever played a team three times in a row, ever.
I don't
So,
know that it ever has.
well, I'm thinking like the CBI finals where you play the best of three, but
Oh,
that's
yeah.
probably the only thing I
Okay,
can think of.
that's a good point. What you do see, well, you see it in baseball sometimes because those are three game series. And I've seen teams close against each other in the final regular season game and then meeting up in the conference tournament less than a week later. And I always think that that's a crazy scenario. This is beyond crazy.
Well, let's go through the rest of the conferences, and we're going to go through them in alphabetical order. We're going to start off in yet another conference that's actually done with its regular season in the America East.
Yep.
We saw a pair of pretty good games between Vermont and UMBC that ended up being the split, but that's all UMBC needed for the one seed. That they got the one seed in this conference tournament with that split last weekend, and heading into a conference tournament with a rather strange format, David.
Yeah.
And I'll get that for the screen while you, if you want to
Yeah.
discuss them.
So again, yeah,
Here it
we
is.
figured that this would sort of be the defining weekend, who's better, Vermont and UMBC, and of course they split the series. But I still think that yeah, look at that, people. Like that's actually that's the old Horizon League format.
No, it isn't. Nobody's ever had this format before with two pods that followed by home campus sites and reseeding in there. It's
Oh, with the reset. Okay, yeah, I see what you
But UMBC and Vermont will not be playing this weekend. We will have two pods, a three-team pod hosted by New Hampshire, a four-team pod hosted by Hartford, on played on Saturday and Sunday this weekend. We'll talk more about them on tomorrow night's Championship Week video notebook as we preview those games. But that is what's upcoming, at least this weekend. The top two teams, though, are off until the following weekend, and then the weekend after that for the championship game.
Right. So, I mean, we're taking what normally happens in 4 days and spreading it over 3 weeks.
In fact, I believe that this will set the record for the longest in terms of number of days involved from
Yeah.
begin to end conference tournament ever.
Right. Yeah.
This is a 15-day conference tournament here.
Good grief. The NCAA tournament used to be 19 days prior to the opening round game.
But that's where we are in the America East. Let's keep things rolling along here and talk about the Atlantic Sun. This conference is not yet done with it. But there we are, David, still the tie at first place, Liberty and Bellarmine.
Yeah, due to COVID protocol, they didn't get to face off, but it looks like that they will in this upcoming week. We'll see that when you reveal it. Liberty has the one seed locked up, or at least the top team among they are the best team among teams that are eligible. Bellarmine right there with them. Really good year in their first year of transition. We knew that they would be good, and they were good. And again, I kind of hate that there's no postseason for them to go to.
Yeah, we'll have to double check that. I only see one game list. I thought they were playing twice this weekend, but
I thought they were too. I, huh, okay.
but David, what about this Bellarmine team? They will be eligible for the ASUN tournament.
Yeah, they will be, and it wouldn't be too crazy to see them win it. Like you said, it's kind of a bit of a wild card when you have one or two, whatever it is, games against Liberty right before the conference tournament. They could be facing them three times in about a week, and if they win that last one, they're the ASUN champs.
Yeah, apparently they did cut it down to only a single game this weekend. It will just be the one game. So whoever wins this game on Saturday wins the ASUN regular season championship, will be the one seed. Regardless of what happens, though, if Bellarmine or North Alabama wins the ASUN tournament, because Liberty will be the highest, no matter what, will be the highest
Right.
qualifier, those two teams will also be playing for Liberty. So Liberty has three out of the nine teams of this conference tournament
Yeah,
to get an auto bid.
and they really are the strongest team. I mean, if they slip up, it probably won't be to Bellarmine or South Alabama, or well, it probably won't be to one of the it probably won't be to Lipscomb or Gulf Coast or some of these other teams, or even that Kennesaw State team that you like, or
No,
Stetson.
that's
No,
Rocco.
that's Rocco's team. You like Stetson, I forgot.
I like Stetson. Uh,
Yeah.
yeah. Uh, Big Sky Co Conference. We now have Eastern Washington, who is David, went out, swept Montana this week by 90 to 76 and 90 to 76 scores, a pair
Yeah.
of identical scores. But I think they're really taking control of this conference, especially with Southern Utah, as we record this, tied in the second half at home against Northern Arizona, which is not going to help.
Yeah, no, it won't. And that game, I believe, on Pluto Sports, if you want to check it out. But Eastern Washington has looked the part. They were a little disappointing right out of the gate. They had that loss to Wazoo. I think we were all expecting them to win. But Wazoo turned out to be better than we thought. I just think – well, how can you not argue? They've played 13 games. They've won 11 of them. And even when they play some of the better teams in the conference, they win pretty convincingly. I think it's Eastern Washington's tournament to win. And – I don't think they get past the round of 64, but they'll certainly make a showing of themselves there.
Yeah, this was Eastern Washington team I had like down on the 16 line, maybe even a play-in game when they first moved to first place. They have, I think this will be a 15 seed by the end of the day, assuming they can.
I agree.
Now, conference tournament, you still have Weber there, who is I think is the maybe even more dangerous team than Southern Utah. Though Southern Utah's been a great story.
Yeah, they have.
But that Weber State team has been playing pretty well as. Recently as well. Weber is at Sacramento State this week, while Eastern Washington, I don't even see them on the schedule. I guess they're not playing at all this week. I guess not.
Maybe they just quit.
Two games you do need to circle are Idaho's home games against Montana State. Idaho playing for that winless record and a shot at our Hoops HD Centenary Award for the worst team in D1. They are the front runners.
Yes, they are.
Let's keep things rolling here over to the Big South Conference, a conference that just tonight with Hampton's win at Longwood and Radford's win against Mount Ole Ali, did finish up its regular season. Winthrop wins this conference running away by 5 games over everybody else.
And clearly the best team. I don't know if the committee will take them if they fail to win the conference tournament. I hope it doesn't come down to that, because I would hate to see somebody that finished the way that they did and you know, beat some of the teams they did not get selected. But in this crazy, crazy year, it could happen.
I'll tell you that the other story in this conference was Monday night. Flanders Fleming for Charleston Southern with a shot at the buzzer, one of the highlights of the day, maybe of the week this week, gets the win for Charleston Southern at Presbyterian to unfortunately end their season, as they immediately found out that they had a COVID outbreak afterwards, and Charleston Southern shut down. Because of the amount of time, I don't think this problem was even in the Charleston Southern basketball team, was in the athletic department as a whole.
Yeah, somebody that had been exposed to their bubble. I don't think any of the players or coaches have tested. I don't know this.
But it was their entire athletic department shut down for about a week. As a result, Charleston Southern will not be playing in the Big South tournament that starts Saturday. I do have the bracket here for the Big South. Now, I would note that this is the unofficial bracket. From what my understanding of the seeding is, as the minute we started recording this, the official bracket had not been released, but yeah. I believe that this is what we have.
Winthrop the host all the way through?
This tournament will be played at campus sites all the way through.
Okay.
So Winthrop, as long as they keep winning, we'll keep hosting.
Okay. And we're a fan of that format. So. Yeah.
But we will, as far as this weekend goes, we will have a pair of games that we'll talk a little bit more about. And we'll actually have times for those probably by the end of the night. You'll be able to check them out in the conference tournament tab up there as well.
Yeah, up there. I can see it. It's right there. See it? Yeah.
How about the Big West Conference and those UC Santa Barbara Gauchos who you know, Bakersfield, we were talking about, was right up near the top of the standings. They took care of them this week. Saturday, 63-44.
I hate to do it, Chad, but I got to give you some props here. I was big on the Gauchos in the preseason. I was not big on them right out of the gate. They stumbled, but that's all they've done. I mean, they have blown through this league. Not only are they the best team in this league, this is potentially a dangerous round of 64 team. I mean, they are really hitting their stride, really playing well. There's not a path for them without the auto bid, but they should win the auto bid.
Yeah, well, let's take a quick look at their profiles. Just see just how dangerous do you think that this team is? Look, I mean, they do not have a loss out of the top two tiers. Their only losses were 3 road losses. And really, it was that sweep at Irvine to start the Big West season back in the end of December that kind of soured us on them. They haven't lost since then.
No, they haven't. And they've gone to Hawaii and won big. That's not easy to do. Like, and like you said, they've been winning by large margins. They've been winning in looking the way that you would think a top 40 team would win those types of games. Like, I don't know what line they end up on, 12, 13, but they are going to make somebody sweat. This is a good Gauchos team and potentially really good next year too.
I think I've got them on the 13 line. I mean, getting up to that 12 line means you've got to get better than some of the at-large qualifiers. And I don't know that they quite reach that. But I think that this is clearly a 13 seed Gauchos team.
Yeah.
They do have four more games left. So a little ways to go still here as far as their regular season at Riverside.
Yeah. And at Riverside, that's going to be a bit of a rough game. I mean, I know
two games, Friday and Saturday. Yep.
Yeah, and both of those are going to be tough, but the way they're playing, as much as I love the Riverside story and how great would it be if they somehow won the conference tournament, even though they're at home, I just think that this Gauchos team, they're good enough to win out, and they're good enough to win the conference tournament after that.
I agree. It's tough for me to say that they could sweep Riverside back-to-back nights, so so we'll see. I mean, especially if the first game's a close one that Santa Barbara pulls out, the tendency has been that Santa Barbara would then blow out the second game. But I think it's the first game that's going to be the most dangerous one there on Friday.
Yeah, for them. Perhaps.
The Colonial, where we simply did not have any games played this week.
Yeah. Not really to speak of. I mean, along getting the sweep of Bill and Mary.
Hey, I'll give credit to Rocco. He called it a lot, was playing better. They went 2-1 this week.
Well, I called College of Charleston over Columbia State, and you all didn't believe me. There was a time during that game you're like, what's up with College of Charleston, David? And they pulled it out. So I just want to say
86-83.
Yeah. Oh,
we still have a little bit of, I think we have a final weekend here of play and a few games that we have listed here, including James Madison should try to get a game in against Drexel. If they win that, they should clinch for them the Colonial regular season title. Hopefully enough of these, we're not going to have teams that are going to have trouble playing in the Colonial tournament the following week. So
probably not. Cross our fingers on this. Disappointing year for the Colonial. And I realized that it was not a normal year. You need to preface that with everything. This is a conference that normally lands in the 12 or 13 range. One of the better under the radar conferences. This league's heading towards the 15 line at the highest and probably not even that high. Hofstra, who we thought was going to be really good, or I did, disappointing this year. Just not the – this is normally a good league. Like, we follow all the under-the-radar leagues. It's normally a lot better than what we saw this year.
My biggest concern is the fact that there are no games this year. Maybe they're going to announce some things. I know this Charleston-Wilmington game for tomorrow has already been marked as postponed. So, I just want to see that these teams are healthy enough to play in the Colonial Tournament.
Yeah.
Otherwise, James Madison might begin this bid without a tournament. So we'll see what happens. So. Let's just move on to Conference USA before I get upset.
Yes.
Another conference that didn't get any games in this week, other than UAB splitting with Old Dominion, surprisingly, and starting to fall down those West Division standings.
Yeah, and again, a good season for UAB and, oh my God, I'm blanking on his name. The guy from Andy Kennedy. Thank you. Mm-hmm. In his first year, I think the overall health of the program is good. I think when we saw that bloated record, it was indicative of just not playing that tough of a schedule, but still a good year for UAB. But the team in this conference is Western Kentucky. The one thing, if you're a bracketologist, which I'm not, you're not, is, well, what about the net? It's in the 70s. I don't know why it's in the 70s. I mean, no, sometimes you can look at something and determine why, but look at their profile. It is really good. The win at Alabama, at Marshall, not a tournament team, but really, really good at home. They have another win against Memphis. Some people are starting to talk about them as a bubble team. And I guess if I had to point to anything, maybe some of these margins of victories against these really weak teams is dragging it down. The strength of schedule is good. Relatively speaking, I don't know why the net is so low.
Well, I'll tell you what, David.
Only two components to it. Yeah.
David, tomorrow night, they will have a chance to solve all problems as they have their non-conference game at Houston. A huge game tomorrow night for WKU. If they can find a way to win that game, and I don't think that they can win it.
I don't think they can either.
If they do,
they're in.
We could be looking at a 10 seed at this point.
Yeah, because, I mean, if they win that game, their last four games are home games against teams they should beat easily. They're in. If they do that, they're in. And I don't know. I hate that those games at North Texas got canceled because those were road games that I think would have, when you look at the two components of the NET, I think that that would have really, really pushed them forward had they won both of them, which I think they would have done. The committee is watching this closely. I think that we can safely determine that. I'm assuming they know about Western Kentucky. This is a good team. Hopefully they're able to kind of improve that net a little bit, even if they can't beat Houston, because half of it is adjusted efficiency. And Houston, a very efficient team. So if Western Kentucky plays well against them, or it'll help them out. And if they beat them, it certainly helps them.
I pulled up a team on the right there, Louisiana Tech. I think this is the second best team right now at the conference, despite UAB, North Texas, and even the records of teams like Marshall. They did split with Western Kentucky, playing really well, just swept UAB. They didn't get to play this past week. I think this is a very dangerous team conference tournament that Western Kentucky might have to pray they don't run into in the CSA tournament.
Yeah, and they did win at Western Kentucky, which is a kind of a shock when it happened. But I agree with you. They're a real tough team.
So keep an eye on them. They're technically down in third place right now, but they would hold the tiebreaker.
But they're on fire.
They would hold the tiebreaker over UAB, so I think they would get one of those top two seeds to get the first round bye anyhow in the conference tournament. There's the other upcoming games there. Western Kentucky also has the series against Florida International coming up this week.
Yeah.
We already just talked about the Horizon League. So, David, I'll bring up your favorite conference next. Oh, there it is.
Yes. Every week you have this. I just don't see the numbers there. I don't know.
Sagarin still has Yale at 82.
God, there might be something wrong with your ranking if you rank a team that hasn't played at 82.
Metro Atlantic Conference, we've got Siena still on top, although I'm hearing that Monmouth may actually be the one seed. We're not done with the season yet here. Right. I think we're going to have teams picked out of a hat here for conference tournament seeding. But at least we got a lot of games of this week, including the Iona games against Monmouth, although my understanding is Iona is now shut down again until the conference tournament.
Oh, they are. Okay, when I looked at today, it looked like that they were still going to play against Siena, but they are shut down again.
My understanding is that they're shut down to the conference tournament. I could be wrong on that, but that was what I thought I read earlier today. This is a conference David, does this conference champion, number one, have any chance of avoiding the 16 line, and number two, have any chance of winning a game outside the first four? I guess
no.
I guess you can't avoid the 16 line. You have no chance of winning a game out of the first four.
Correct.
Okay. But there's the games. Actually, you see, Iona is not on there. It's Manhattan at Siena. That's on the schedule right now for this weekend.
Okay.
Ryder, St. Peter's. I don't even see Monmouth on there. I love this league, but just this year has been pretty brutal, unfortunately.
Yeah.
How about something a little better? Let's go to the Mid-American.
Yeah, this is a little better. I like this Toledo team. At least one person in the AP likes them a lot more than I do. But, you know, they're getting AP votes. I do think that they kind of shot themselves in the foot, because for a while I thought they were good enough to be inside the bubble and were putting together the kind of profile that could have got them there. I know you're
about to pull it up. The Ball State loss was just crushing for them, I thought.
And this is hard to do in a regular year, because you're essentially in a situation where you have to kind of get those wins in the first 6 weeks of the season and then hold serve. Well, this year that was even harder to do, because there was no first 6 weeks. And your margin for error is basically zero. And I think the losses to Ball State sunk them.
Yeah, they lost to Ball State. They get Ball State again. They got to play at the end of the regular season here.
Yeah.
But you look at things like that 7-4 overall road record. There's some very nice things on this profile.
Yeah.
And number 15 offensive efficiency in the nation. That's a dangerous team if they make
it. Yeah, a really good outside
three-point shooting team. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, and that was one of the things. When they're off from the outside, they just can't beat anybody. But rarely are they off. And, you know, they've won at Marshall. They won at Buffalo. They won some games that were pretty hard to win. And you know, if they get through this tournament again, there's somebody that can give somebody fits in the round of 64 and even win a game
As far as they are dangerous teams in this tournament. We thought we really liked the way this Akron team was playing. Ohio had been on a two or three week pause. They came back from that pause on Tuesday and crushed Akron.
Yeah, I was watching that yesterday. I couldn't believe it, because most of the time you're seeing teams just overly rusty when they come off pause, but not Ohio. Good God.
They looked really good. I think this Ohio team is a dangerous, dangerous team in the MAC tournament.
They are. And let's not forget, before they went on pause and started having all of this COVID stuff, this is a team that took Michigan to the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I keep an eye on that team. Here's the upcoming games on this week's schedule. We're seeing a lot of these bottom four teams play against the top teams this week. Looks like the four directional teams are probably on their way out. Although Western Michigan was still a shot, I think, at making the conference tournament down there at the bottom. Only the top eight teams in the conference tournament.
Yeah, which, again, kind of unfortunate, not everybody in it.
MEAC got a few more games in this week that we normally see, like, only one or two games.
Yeah.
But we do see now North Carolina A&T picked up a pair of wins. They went 2-1 this week, but that puts them in firm control of the Southern Division. This conference will be seeded by divisions as well, so that will give them a bye. Good battle, though. Those three North Division teams have been beating each other up all season.
Yeah, I mean, that is entirely up for grabs. And then Howard and Delaware State shut down.
Well, Delaware State's still playing. They're not. They're on the APR postseason ban list, though, so they're not eligible for the MEAC tournament. So we only seven teams in the MEAC tournament. Delaware State will play the last couple weeks here. In fact, they've got a couple games against Coppin State this week.
Yeah, and pushing for that Centenary Award. I still like Norfolk in the Northern Division, but NCA&T getting the nice win tonight over their rivals, NC Central.
And NC Central's important. We've got to get some more games in. They're only sitting at 9 games right now. They've got to get up to 12 before the conference tournament. You see they've got 2 this week. There's still a couple more games beyond that. So they are scheduled to get them. Hopefully no more shutdowns, and we can actually keep them postseason eligible with the 12 games before the conference tournament.
Yeah.
Although I think this conference comes down to Norfolk and Morgan State at the end of the day. I don't think the Southern Division teams, even A&T.
I would agree with that. Or Coppin. I mean, I don't. The Northern Division is, I think, far superior to the Southern.
Agreed. Over in the Missouri Valley Conference, you can kind of ignore that second place team. I believe Loyola Chicago is the. I don't really know what the tiebreakers are, because they did split head to head.
Yeah.
Loyola Chicago, not technically under the radar. We discussed the Monday night. Drake struggled a little bit with Evansville, but they did end up getting a couple wins. Drake team that is being beat up bad by injuries now have their top two players out. Roman Penn out for the year. Tank Hempel, they're hoping to get him back by Arch Madness.
And this has plagued Drake before, where they've gotten off to good starts or looked like they had good pieces and then had season ending injuries to key players that piddled out. And you kind of think, oh, it's got to feel like deja vu there if you're a Drake fan. I still think that even without those players, they have what it takes to get inside the bubble. They just need to hold serve the rest of the way. They're getting one of them back. I would hate if this team just went into the tank because of the injuries and missed the tournament. You don't want to see that happen to anybody.
There's only two games left for them in the regular season before the conference tournament. They're on the road at Bradley, a dangerous Bradley team, but a Bradley team that's beat up right now also. They're suffering a lot of injuries, several injuries themselves.
So, and again, like, Drake has been a good story this year, and as has Loyola Chicago. I'd like to see them both inside the bubble, both in the field. And I hope that it continues in the next year.
I just realized this, David. Bradley has won the Arch Madness the last 2 years in a row. Was a team that we thought was pretty dangerous. Northern Iowa was a team we loved heading into the season and was killed by injuries all season. They could be meeting the 8-9 game in the Missouri Valley Tournament.
Yeah.
How would that look like? We were all very wrong about where this conference was going this year.
We were, but I mean, it was so beat up. And this is one of those leagues that you have to keep an eye on it next year and over the postseason. Who are teams going to be able to retain? Because this could be a 2 or 3 bid league next year.
Yeah, if they can keep these players, yeah. If Northern Iowa gets guys back and gets healthy, Bradley, I think, is always dangerous. And Valpo and Evansville are both rising programs in this
Oh, they are.
conference.
I mean, this is going to be a fun league, and you almost got to ask yourself if we get to a point in the season where they've got 3 and 4 teams inside the bubble, do they go on to the radar? Do we move them up to the main show?
They might look at Missouri State. They've only lost 5 games all year. They've lost 5 games all year. 4 of them were to Drake and Loyola.
Yeah.
They've only lost 1 game to anybody else they played all season. So,
Yeah.
but there you go. Drake, I said at Bradley, Loyola hosted Southern Illinois, even though we're not supposed to talk about that. I did.
Yeah.
Turn over to the Northeast Conference, where we've been, this Wagner team has been playing great by Northeast standards, maybe even by a couple other conference standards,
Yeah.
really good basketball lately. Took a, actually got a test from SFPA over on their Sunday game, blew them out on the Saturday game, though.
Yeah, I mean the game on Sunday against St. Francis PA was a little bit of a head scratcher considering how good they've been looking. I think that it's them and Bryant. Merrimack's still a good story,
Well,
but
the Bryant with that huge sweep in a couple of tough games
yeah.
against Merrimack. Not
Yeah.
Merrimack knowledgeable for the Northeast tournament, but great job by Bryant saying, "Hey, don't forget about us, kind of. We're still in this league."
Right, and it is kind of a two-horse race between Wagner and Bryant. Only 4 teams into this conference tournament, and that's really the story here, Chad, is that logjam. You've got Sacred Heart, Long Island, Mount St. Mary's, and St. Francis Brooklyn all within a couple of games of each other, and there's only 2 spots available. So,
Yeah.
I mean, what they do the rest of the way is kind of the story here, is who's going to get those last 2 spots.
And some will come down to schedule. Long Island has to go to Bryant for a pair of games. So even though they're sitting
Yeah.
in that fourth spot right now, there's a chance with Mount St. Mary's has games at SFPA. Sacred Heart, I don't even see them. Oh, there they are. They're hosting Fairleigh Dickinson.
Yeah.
Well, I think Sacred Heart has the inside track for one of those spots, given that they have the easier 2 games this week
Yeah.
and the fact that they are already up a game in the loss column. But maybe it's St. Francis Brooklyn. I mean, they all have St. Francis Brooklyn at Merrimack, Long Island at Bryant. There's a couple, who knows? Maybe Fairleigh Dickinson could come up and steal a spot even. Who knows?
Yeah.
Let's jump on over to the Ohio Valley Conference, where Belmont is one of a very small handful of teams that remains undefeated in conference play after
Yeah.
taking care of Jacksonville State and Tennessee Tech this week. I think the Jacksonville State game, a bit more of a test than we thought they would get from them.
Yeah, it was. They kind of won that one ugly, but they did win it. This Belmont team on the court is phenomenal. They've got a really good post player, like probably the best big man in the conference or one of them. And they've got 2 or 3 really good outside shooters. And it's just pick your poison. Do you double down in the post, which frees up open shooters, or do you extend out the defense to cover the perimeter, leaving yourself wide open in the post? They're a real hard team to defend, at least at this level with the weapons they have. And with the exception of sort of that ugly win, they've been rolling over this league like a top 40 team should.
And they may there's still 2 weeks left for them to break the top 25 polls. While this is over,
Yeah.
that's under the radar show, they may become ineligible to be under the radar by before the end of the
Right.
season here if they keep
And
rolling.
you look at their metrics here, their net's in the 60s. That's kind of understandable when you consider adjusted efficiency and in how weak their schedule is. Their overall strength of schedule, I want to say, is in the 300s.
311. Yep.
311. Oh, it's right in front of me. The SOR, is that the is that
That's
our
the ESPN strength
Oh, that's the
of
strength of
resume.
record. Okay,
Strength of
like
resume. Yep.
where's Joby got him on
J&G is at
J&G
59.
59. So this is the question, Chad. If you want to just pull up their profile so we can look at it.
Sure.
They've got a couple, well, they've got 2 road games remaining, and the road games that they're playing are against Eastern Kentucky, Morehead State, 2 teams that are
The
having
second and
big,
third place teams of the
yeah,
conference.
second and third place. I don't know if any of that lands them in tier 1. It doesn't, but still not bad road wins, not good ones either, but not bad ones. And then they've got, if they win both of those and lose in the conference championship game to one of those 2 teams, are they in, or is it This would be unprecedented.
Here's the problem. They do not have a single game against a tier one or tier two opponent. Yeah. Eastern Kentucky will not be a tier three game even on the road. Morehead State right now would be a tier three game. However, if they go ahead and they lose a game at Morehead State, that should be enough to push Morehead State up into tier two. So maybe they need to lose that game so they can get a tier two game on their resume. You know?
Yeah. And then beat them again in the championship.
Yeah. But all seriousness, yeah. They would head into the NCAA tournament. If they win out, including the conference tournament, they will head to the NCAA tournament with an amazing record of with only one loss. That'd be 29 wins they would have at that point.
Shortened season,
but zero games against anybody in the top two tiers.
And that's a problem. And Belmont, under Rick Byrd, normally scheduled really hard out of conference, and so did Lipscomb with Casey Alexander. I think this was more situational than anything else. I don't think they ducked anybody. And next year, this will probably be corrected, I would think. But again, a big weekend coming up for them against Morehead State, EKU. Is Belmont going to run away from this in this tournament, or do you see somebody else being able to sneak up on them?
I think the two teams you got to look at are EKU and Morehead State, who both will be coming off of games against Belmont.
Yeah.
This week. Now, the way the conference tournament is going to set up, Morehead and EKU will be on one side of the bracket. Belmont will be on the other, assuming the standings stay where they are, which they should. I guess theoretically, EKU could fall down to fourth place still. But if they standing stay where they are, whoever wins that Morehead-EKU game will have a little bit more knowledge about Belmont, at least. They just played a couple weeks ago for the first time. This will be the second time. That's where I think, can Morehead or EKU beat them in the championship game? That's the only risk that Belmont has. I think this Belmont team is way better than that. But we will really get to know that if Belmont goes and rolls these two games this week, Thursday and Saturday, we will – we'll know a lot more about them because these are the two most difficult games they've played all season this week.
Yeah.
Let's keep rolling on here to the Patriot League with its divisions and its American University with only seven games. And I don't know at this point if American is even going to be able to qualify for the Patriot League tournament because of the low number of games that they got in. Bucknell still needs to get a few more games in, although I think they will be able to.
And we normally love this league, but it's just been frustrating to see, to see teams play the same one or two teams over and over and over and over and over and over. I mean, if Kansas and Missouri were to do this, it would be phenomenal. That would be the greatest thing ever.
Holy Cross Colgate again this week. BU Army again this week. Navy and Loyola again this week. Army and Bucknell again.
Yeah. Now, the one thing they have done is exposed something in the net. Well, any metric is that when you look at Colgate, for instance, is that who's really high?
Yep, 13 in the net.
Okay, well, when you look at the fact that they've played Army five times or six times, whatever it is, and they've beaten them all those times, the net or any or the RPI or any metric is going to be like, well, they're beating a team that outside of that is 6-2. They're beating this team that's won 75% of their games handily, and it's going to push that up.
I'll throw another number up here. I'm going to throw up a profile here that we've not looked at all season. American University.
Okay.
I'm going to throw it up there. They are currently rated number one in strength of schedule in the nation. Why? They've only played two teams, Navy and Loyola, and Navy has an incredible overall record.
Yes.
That's why they have the number one strength of schedule. They haven't played the toughest schedule of the nation. They played probably one of the easiest schedules in the nation.
Yeah, they have. Now, Navy, I do like this Navy team. I'm sick of seeing them play American and Loyola all the time. But that's what happens when you play. Like, if you want to know how to rig the matrix, and this is why we've said this before on the main show, the double round robins push you further ahead. If you really want to rig the matrix, get with a team, have each of you schedule one game against one bye game, a game that you can easily win, and then play your remaining 28 games against each other. You will both have the overall strength of schedule. You'll both like be off the charts good, because all it's going to be see is that, oh, you're beating a team that's 1-0. You're beating a team that's won 100% of your game.
Yep.
And it'll like your net will go through the roof.
Yeah. Obviously, the committee is not going to put Colgate in the tournament with that large bid. Yeah. I mean, unless Colgate's only getting in by winning this conference tournament. Navy, I think, is the better team. We saw that they beat Georgetown non-conference. They played some non-conference games. And I think Navy is going to win this conference tournament at the end of the day, despite being 70 points behind Colgate in the net.
Yeah.
The SoCon, the conference of upsets, yes, always seem to have a major upset here on Wednesdays before our shows. Either Citadel or VMI was pulling them off for weeks in a row. Tonight it was Western Carolina that got in the party, winning at UNC Greensboro, David.
Yes, and every time I say that either UNC Greensboro is finally starting to look like the team that we thought they would be, they either lose a game that they should win or they struggle to win. Furman barely getting the win. But Chad, is Furman finally?
Furman trailed most of the games against Citadel, turned on the last about 10 minutes and ended up winning it by 9. But Furman now in first place of this conference, in control of their own destiny to win this conference regular season. I've thought on paper all season they were the best team. I think that the standings are finally starting to match the paper, although it took a Western Carolina win at Greensboro to get us there.
Right. And this
is a Mercer win over Chattanooga, say another upset there as well. Yeah.
This is a Furman team that we were high on, or at least I was in the preseason. I thought that this could be a team that could land inside the bubble. I thought Greensboro was really good too. And a lot of slip ups this season, both in conference play and out, games that you thought that they would be able to win. But are the pieces still there, and is the ceiling still there for if one of those two ends up getting the auto bid, can they make somebody sweat?
Oh, I think they will. I think Furman will definitely make somebody sweat. Furman ends the season on Saturday at Wofford. That'll be a good test. I mean, honestly, we got a couple good games here. The Greensboro at the East Tennessee State game.
Wofford?
These could be semifinal preview games here.
Yeah, Wofford in a complete rebuild mode, pretty much having a good year.
Real nice year for Wofford. So congratulations to them. Yeah, I think the winner of this conference, assuming it's one of those two, is going to make somebody sweat. You know what? If it's VMI or Citadel, they'll make somebody sweat too.
Right? Yeah,
different reasons because of the style that they play.
Yeah.
let's take a look over at the Southland Conference. A one score that did not make the screen. Lamar won at Incarnate Word tonight, and SFA won at Northwestern State.
Yeah.
In addition, I'm trying.
Abilene Christian pulled away.
Nicholls State is up about 10 late against Houston Baptist as we record this, and Abilene Christian is up 5 at the end of around halftime against Sam Houston State as we record this. What's really the most important game of the day, and maybe the game of the season now in the South, with SFA's request for an APR postseason ban having been granted, so they won't be in the postseason this year.
That's hilarious. On to the WAC next year, on the bigger and better things. Their last year in the their Southland season is about to end forever. Yeah, Southland.
They've got 2 more weeks here. They will end with a game against Sam Houston State. I believe they also have Abilene Christian one more time as well. So SFA will have a lot of decisions in who gets the top seeds in this conference tournament. They could even end up winning the regular season title still. They're right there. Nicholls continues to find ways to win games. Real good season for Nicholls here. Quietly. They got a little lucky in terms of their scheduling. They did not play Abilene at all this season. They played the other two teams once each. Those are their 2 losses. But
busy week coming up, trying to get some of these games crammed in by the end of the year.
Most of these teams are playing every other day for the rest of the season Southland has really tried to get all these makeup games in here.
Yeah, and that's the combination of the weather, the snowstorm, and we realized that was real crippling to the state. We hope that everybody is okay and safe, and it's good to see everybody down there playing again, and COVID. So a very, very busy end of the season here.
They see next Wednesday Abilene at SFA. That's probably the after tonight's game is over.
Yeah.
That's the next big game to circle in this Southland standings here, Southland schedule here. The Southwestern Athletic Conference, the only conference in the nation with multiple undefeated teams in conference play, and they could very well finish that way because Prairie View and Jackson State will not play unless they meet in the conference tournament this year, David.
Yeah, crazy situation here. I guess that's just 2020-21 for you. Mm-hmm. But
But I got to give credit to Prairie View. Real nice win on Sunday at Texas Southern. It was a makeup game that they did find a way to get in. And you know, Texas Southern, I think, is the third best team in this conference. And to find a way to have won that game, that probably was their, without playing Jackson State, that's their toughest road game of the season.
Yeah. And your Alabama A&M team has slipped a little bit.
Yeah, they're struggling a little bit. The three-bid SWAC struggling, although, you know, two teams finish undefeated. They should be in the field, right?
Yeah, they should.
Prairie View is at Alabama A&M and at Alabama State for the next two games. Jackson State at Mississippi Valley and at Arkansas Pine Bluff. So these two teams should remain undefeated come next weekend.
Yes.
Let's take a look, couple more conferences left. How about the Summit League?
Well, they've been beaten up on my guys. I thought South Dakota State was clearly the best team in this league. I thought that maybe they'd lose a game. They've lost three.
But South Dakota State, I mean, they lost one of the top players due to injury. They're gone for the season now, and they split the series at North Dakota State. I was surprised they even split it, though. I think North Dakota State is the team to beat in this conference right now.
I agree with you. The way they've been playing, it was a little, they had a sluggish start to the season a little bit. Didn't look impressive at all at the beginning, but they have in the latter part of it. I'm with you. I like the Yotes too. I think South Dakota has been turning it on.
They had a nice win over Oral Roberts, who's has some life there also. Yeah.
Yeah. Something to watch, Kansas City back at full strength. So while they're nowhere in the race for first place, a potential dangerous team in the conference tournament. And I guess, like, who's going to win the 1-8 game this year? Because for many, many years in a row, that 1-8 game in this conference tournament seems to come down to the wire, and it's often given us some upsets.
Well, I'll tell you what, David, we got a couple big games this week before we get there. First of all, Kansas City, you just mentioned, is at South Dakota State. We have North Dakota State at South Dakota, the battle for first place, and the battle for who gets that 8 seed. Only 8 teams make this conference tournament. One will be eliminated. Omaha and Denver facing off head to head.
Yeah.
This could be a pair of games to determine an elimination this weekend here.
And we will be following it. We are there for all elimination games.
I think Denver charges for their streams. I might not be watching those.
If it's an elimination game, we'll get it.
The Sun Belt Conference, in which Texas State somebody finally took control of this league. It was Texas State. They picked up a real nice road win at Arkansas.
This league kind of ate itself, Chad. I don't know if it's fool's gold that maybe these teams are a little bit better than what they appear on paper, but you know, Georgia State was really big on them, and they just tripped in conference play.
You know what? They stuck back up into second place in that East Division now.
Little Rock, I thought they were going to be real good. God, have they been disappointing. And no one really breaking away from the conference except from maybe Texas State. And even then, we're used to seeing this conference generate some pretty good teams. And even, like, not this year, though. This is 15-16 all over it.
Yeah, I think it's a 15 seed. It might be a 16 seed. You're right. Which is unfortunate, because I think if these teams had put together some better resumes, they could have been the champion could have been dangerous against a or a four seed in the tournament, but not against a Baylor or a Gonzaga, you know. Texas State is hosting Monroe this weekend. The North Division of South Alabama against Georgia State in a pair of games you should circle if you're going to watch games in this conference.
Yeah, because Georgia State could still jump over them and finish first.
Those two games may determine the East Division title, and this conference tournament is seeded by division, so the top two in each division will get those first round byes. Let's see here. Where are we? The WAC.
Yep.
In the WAC, Rio Grande, we got to get them some games. You know, I mean, their assistant coach has taken over after the unfortunate passing of Lou Hill. They're undefeated in conference, I guess we could say that. 2-0.
Yeah, they are. 2-0. Just a real crazy. Well, it's going to come down to an auto bid among one of those five teams. New Mexico State.
They lost again one game against Utah Valley. Then they came back and won the second. Grand Canyon. upset loss at home to California Baptist. So,
but with it being so tumultuous now, New Mexico State, despite all that, and that is a lot to set aside, has still been disappointing. But if they get into a tournament format, it might actually give them some normalcy, some sense of we know where we're staying and where we're playing and what state we're going to be in. I mean, what New Mexico State's gone through has been ridiculous. Their potential, don't overlook them as being a, because they have a lot of good pieces. This was a team that coming into the year we thought was going to be really good. And while they haven't been, and while all, despite all the circumstances should have been better, there were still a lot of circumstances. You remove that in a tournament setting, Chad, this is a dangerous New Mexico State.
I think it's a very dangerous team here. And I think even if they go into this conference tournament as the number six seed out of the six, because California Baptist will play in this conference tournament in addition to the five eligible teams. If they go in the sixth seed, I might still pick them to win this conference tournament.
I might too.
Especially if they could start playing better. They've got, you know, four more games left, I believe. A pair of games at Tarleton this weekend. You know, Tarleton, the last place team there, might be a good chance for them to get a few wins under their belt. Grand Canyon's off in Seattle this week, and RGV is at Utah Valley.
Yeah.
How about checking on the Front Range?
Oh yeah, the Front Range. We have some games coming up.
We still have a tie between Colorado State and Colorado. The Colorado State with a half game lead and the big series of the year coming up as Colorado State will be hosting Air Force for a pair of games here. I guess Saturday and Monday.
Right. And COVID protocol will be intact. I mean, this is just one of those games because
if Colorado State sweeps these series, I think they're the Front Range champion.
I think they
and
are
in the NCAA tournament.
And they are in the NCAA tournament with the auto. I agree. They win both those games. They win this conference. They get the auto bid and they are in, Chad.
I'm on a top 10 list.
Okay.
We've got a bunch of honorable mentions.
Yeah, we do. Good grief. Late in the year, that's a lot of votes.
I will throw in there that our good friend Rocco Miller from Bracketeer.org, he was not able to join us for the show tonight. He did vote for the top 10 this week. Okay. So that's why we have there are three of us voting here. So any weird votes we can attribute to him. I would also note that he voted before the Greensboro loss. So that's why his vote for Greensboro isn't the honorable mention. I don't know that they would still be there if had he voted later, but Furman Wright State.
Nice honorable mention for Bellarmine. I kind of like that. I didn't vote for them, but I'm glad they're getting a shout out. I'm not sure why the hell Prairie View's on there.
Undefeated in conference. Come on, David. Okay. Eastern Washington, Cleveland State in there as well. Yeah. Let's go to the top 10 here. Number 10, Louisiana Tech.
Ooh, wow. That's a big
sneaking
one.
Sneaking into the top 10.
Yeah. And we talked about them during Conference USA. So
at number nine, we've got Abilene Christian.
Yeah, with a nice looking win tonight.
They are up three in the second half. They have not yet won that game.
Oh, yeah, I got it. I'm watching it. They're playing Sam Houston State. They're up three.
They would have slipped if they
do
lose.
Who won the night? There was a Southland game.
Stephen F. Austin one.
That's a lot of people. apparently in Abilene, COVID is not.
How about the number 13, the NEC team, coming at number eight in our polls here? Oh, Colgate, congratulations to the Raiders.
I can tell you that had nothing to do with my bracket.
That was all me and Rocco. Number seven, we've got Liberty, the regular season champion out of the Atlantic Sun there, at least tied for the regular season. They'll decide that championship with Bellarmine this weekend. Yeah. David, we had something amazing happen this week. All three of us voting. We all three of us had the identical top six teams in the identical order.
Well,
ever happened before.
I don't think it has either, but it's kind of shaping up that way. So that is pretty crazy.
No surprise. Number six is Toledo.
Yeah.
No surprise. Number five is UC Santa Barbara.
The Gauchos. And yeah, I like this team a lot.
Number four, no surprise, Winthrop.
Winthrop. Yeah, we've talked about them. Very dangerous.
Number three, Belmont.
Belmont. And again, we're talking about teams very, very close to the bubble here in this range.
Western Kentucky, a theme that I like on the good side of the bubble, especially if they pull off a miracle tomorrow night at Houston.
Yeah, well, if they pull off the miracle tomorrow night, they're straight up to number one and maybe even into the – maybe not even because they'll be –
might be top 25 by then.
Yeah.
And Loyola Chicago not eligible. Drake number one, though, on the list here, still based on that overall resume that they've got. Mm-hmm. David, a we are moving into Championship Week video notebook mode here from here on out. So while we are not going to have another Under the Radar show during those video notebooks, any news and notes regarding these remaining regular season games, we will be addressing to those notebooks. So it's not like we're going to forget about these regular season battles. We will be handling a lot of stuff with Under the Radar schools, just not in the same format from here on out. But as we move into Under the Radar video notebook mode, what we'll do at the end of each of our Championship Week video notebook mode, end of each of our shows, we're going to be taking a look at our survival board, which is another tab up there.
Yeah, this is it's right up there.
And there it is on the screen.
This is an invaluable tool for the selection committee. Well, I'll let you tell us about it, Chad. It's just amazing.
This is in the room because they have the internet.
They have the internet. They've got their phones. They can pull this up, and it tells them exactly what they need to be doing.
And what we have here is we have every team that remains eligible. So as we head into the first conference tournament of the season, there are 330 teams that remain eligible.
Yeah.
We've had a couple teams fall off because they canceled the season. We had Charleston Southern just fall off because they were ineligible for their conference tournament. I would note there's a few teams on here that may not qualify for the conference tournament due to COVID this year. We're kind of waiting until the conference tournament fields are absolutely 100% locked in
normally somebody... we start removing them as they become mathematically eliminated, but we're waiting.
There's a chance that a team that from the bottom of the Northeast Conference could end up in the Northeast Conference tournament teams ahead of them get shut down and they get an invite instead. But teams are listed in four different ways on this field here as we go through all the tournaments. We've got teams all bold, all caps and bold, which you don't have any of yet, is a automatic qualifier. We don't have any of those yet because we don't have any.
Yeah, we don't have any. Yeah, there's been no conference tournaments yet.
Then we have all these teams in bold, like Baylor, Kansas, Oklahoma, Creighton, Villanova. What's all that about, David?
Okay, that means these teams are in the tournament no matter what. If Baylor loses every single remaining game that they have, the committee still will take them.
So if I'm a committee member and I'm sitting there, I'm wondering, should Alabama be in my field? What I could do is look at this screen
look at this. Yes, Alabama's they're involved. So we need to take them. Yeah, and that's what they do.
Now, Dave, we also have teams in italics. That means that you seem that might be worth considering still.
Yeah, you want to consider those teams. These are teams that if they lose all their regular if they win all of their remaining games, win out to the conference championship game and lose, then there's a chance that there'll be enough on their resume to let them in.
So if I'm sitting there and I'm in the committee room and I'm saying, is Colorado in or out? The answer is, yes, that's a team we should be thinking about. They might be in, they might be out. It's going to depend on what they do the rest of the way here.
Right, yeah. So you need to be watching those teams.
Now, if I'm in the committee room and I'm wondering whether or not I should give an at-large bid to Tennessee State, David.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't, because they're not in italics and they're not bold. So Tennessee State can only get in if they win the automatic bid.
Now, what if I'm in the committee room and I'm wondering whether I should give an automatic bid, whether I should give a bid to Yale?
Well, no, Yale is not even on the board at all.
Not even on the board. So you don't even think about them.
Yeah, you don't even think about them.
The ones that are regular type might actually end up getting in here as an automatic qualifier. But that is our survival board, our top 10 list. I guess let's go ahead and pull this down here, David, and go to you for any other final thoughts you might have on the night.
It just doesn't seem like Championship Week begins tomorrow. It's been a weird year. Nothing seems like it normally does this year. I don't know. Most of the time we're chomping at the bit. It's like Championship Week. Here we go. We're gearing up for our notebooks. We've got the survival board ready to go, but it does begin tomorrow.
David, I just ought to say here that, about an hour, maybe about 2 hours ago, you said, why don't we start our show tonight an hour later so I could watch my Rutgers game. At that point, they were down about 15 points to Indiana. I said, no, I don't even want to watch this Rutgers game. I think we got to do all our shows during Rutgers games from now on, because as soon as we started the show, they went red hot, won the game against Indiana, completely went above the radar there. But on that note, I do want to thank everybody for joining us all season Under the Radar. We will be back again tomorrow night with two podcasts, a Bracket Rundown podcast, which we'll do a few more of during the course of the season, and a fairly short, but we will definitely have a Championship Week video notebook. We'll be back again. I think we're taking Friday off because there are no conference tournament games Friday. Beginning Saturday, there will be a podcast every single night, at least one, sometimes two, because of Bracket Rundowns and Hoops HD reports and whatever else to come with. We got a lot of content. We'll do survival board updates. We'll do news and notes. We'll be reviewing games. We'll be previewing games. And some of these we're going to be doing at about 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yep.
And, you know, we've called Mark Emmert during the show before.
We've done some crazy things. Yeah, so. We've done some crazy things.
Especially when it's 3 o'clock in the morning and we're on a lot of cups of coffee.
We got to figure out what crazy thing we're going to do this year. And we normally figure it out about 10 minutes before we go on. Are we going to do trivia?
Well, 10 minutes after we go. We'll maybe come back tomorrow night, check out our video notebook. We'll see what we figure it out.
All right.
But on behalf of David Griggs, I'm Chad Sherwood. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again tomorrow night.